Okay, good morning. Everyone's yawning, but you're all here, and so it's wonderful. All right, so why don't we start again with a word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you for another day of life. We praise you and we thank you that we're all here. And Lord, I especially ask for help this morning. Because Lord, I don't always have the right words to say. And so Father, we all need your spirit. And so I ask not because of me, but because of our need, that your spirit would be here and that you would go and prepare our hearts, each one of us, mine especially. And I thank you for hearing and answering us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this morning we're talking about, you know, all this time what we've been trying to talk about is some aspect of this, of knowing Jesus, right? You know, in the beginning we were talking about the first day we talked about how the great object of life was that the image of God be restored in us, right? And then the second day we talked about how Jesus is the light who gives us, he recreates us, right? So that's how that image is restored. And then we talked about love and how love will do away with fear, right? And that is how the image of God is restored, is through that power of love, that creative power, right? And today, you know, so yesterday we were talking about fear and how that is an obstacle for God's purpose to be fulfilled in our life, right? So today what we're going to talk about is courage, okay? And some illustrations of courage from the Bible. So this is a quote that I shared yesterday, that it is the darkness of misapprehension of God that is enshrouding the world. Men are losing their knowledge of his character. It has been misunderstood and misinterpreted. You know, this is one of the major reasons that we need to have courage, that we need to, I don't know, for me, when I read this, like, you know, when the reason that many of you are here for your children, right? You're better people because you want something better for your children, right? And that's much more a motivating factor than it is for you to save yourself, isn't it? It's because that love for your children. And that love, you know, that God gives you your children, not for you, right? We're not supposed to hold on to children selfishly, right? And so it's the same kind of thing. You know, when you develop this love for your children, it allows you to see the love that God has for all his children in this world, right? And many of God's children are in darkness. They have not seen who Jesus is. That light has not been shining upon them. And it is for this reason that a message from God is to be proclaimed. A message illuminating in its influence and saving in its power. His character is to be made known. That is why the image of God must be restored in our lives. Because people need to see who Jesus is in each one of us. That is why we need to have courage. And there's a verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 that says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him." God is looking for people who are going to have courage to believe in his word. I love this text. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is, according to the dictionary, the ability to do something that actually frightens one. to have strength in the face of pain or grief. Last year, I was reading a recommendation by a pastor that we, at the beginning of the year, look for some quality that we are wanting to focus on for that year. And last year, because I knew, I told you my first day, I'm someone that naturally has the tendency for fear. I grew up, you know, I was a very sensitive child, very shy child. And to go from school, to have to meet new friends, some places you have bullying, some places, you know, you're not treated that kindly, right? And so you're always trying to, like, just fit in. And so I did not grow up being a very courageous child. I grew up wanting to have courage because I was reading these books about all these really famous people. And I was like, I want to be like these people. And when I got into college, I had a lay pastor who taught us how to have a devotional life. And I started reading, you know, books by Ellen White, Patriarchs and Prophets, and I was reading about these very courageous people. And I always thought, I want to be like these people. And when I got older, not because I was overtly rebellious, but because even though I love the Lord, I had not necessarily been equipped to know how to be a Christian. And so there was a part of me that was also very tempted by the world. And so one foot loving the Lord and one foot wanting the things of this world. And it caused me to make decisions that me as a young girl looking into the future would have been very disappointed by. And when I decided to give my life back to the Lord totally, I decided, you know, I have to make different decisions. Every day, it has to be a decision that I'm going to be very intentional about obeying God's word. And so last year, when I was thinking about what word it would be that I would focus on, I decided I would focus on this word courage. And that I was going to, you know, I've always been drawn to stories of courage, but I was really going to focus on it and do things that I was afraid to do. And last year, it was a huge growth experience. I did do a lot of things that I would have been afraid to do. I had a friend who is kind of, she's a lot more courageous than me. And, you know, it was very encouraging. And so, you know, like I'm doing some things now that I would never have had courage to do or thought to do. And I think it was a blessing. So I'd really encourage you to, if you haven't tried it, to try doing something like that. I want to look at some stories, a couple stories. And the first one is from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And it is the story of what was happening with David. And, you know, I have to tell you that, you know, you're going to see a lot of typos because I'm just typing some stuff in very last minute. The way that I have been doing this, sometimes, like, when I come to a place, like camp meeting, and then I meet some of you, then I'm like, God hits me with, this is what you should talk about. And so some of this, you know, it's just kind of like last minute, I'm typing this stuff in. So 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is the story of David. And everybody, we all know the story of David, right? And the thing about David, the way that he started getting involved in what was happening with the Israelites, was that, you know, after he had gotten anointed, he was still a shepherd, right? But it wasn't until he went to visit his brothers, who were all soldiers in the army, that he found out what was happening with the Philistines. And you see, what was happening with the Philistines was that there was this giant by the name of Goliath. And what was he doing? He was basically making fun of not only the Israelites, but he was making fun of God. And when David got there, what happened? He was so disturbed by what he was seeing, that he knew what kind of God he served and who God was, and to see all of Israel not being able to move forward, it caused him great consternation. And David said that he would go forward and he would be the man that would fight Goliath, right? Now, for those of you, I don't know, I remember a few years ago when I saw this preacher, and he was telling all these stories, and I was like, why does this preacher have so many amazing, miraculous stories, right? And I thought, it's because he's attempting a lot for the Lord. He's trying to do things that are impossible. And that inspired me. Doesn't that inspire you? You know, that's what we need to be praying for. If we could accomplish all the things that we try to do in this world, you know, if you're thinking about your day, and if you are perfectly capable of accomplishing all those things, why do you need to pray about it? So when we think about the future, I look at these things and I think, these are impossible things that these people try to accomplish. And so that is what I'm very much inspired by. And so when David decided that he would go and fight this Philistine, was he kind of, this is the part that speaks to me, because I go forward and I'm like, well, I'll see what the Lord does. But David, when he went forward, he said in verse 46, he told Goliath, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, for this purpose, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. That is the purpose. That is what gives us courage. Because we move forward not because of anything within us, but because we want the world to know that there is a God in Israel. And as he continued, he said this, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It is this knowledge of what God's purpose is that gives us the courage to go forward. Amen? As we move forward today, this is the thing that we want to keep in mind. What is God's will? And how will it be done? And how will God be honored? And then we cannot fail. Right? So it came to pass in chapter 17, verse 48. This really inspires me. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. This is super, super interesting. That when David saw the Philistine, he did not go forward kind of scared and afraid. He ran to meet the Philistine. Now, there's a story of the Titanic. Those of you who know about I think all of us know that the Titanic, it was not supposed to, it was built so that it would be able to withstand anything, right? But we know that on its maiden voyage, that it actually hit an iceberg and sank. And they say that, it hit the iceberg in such a way, I guess when the captain saw the iceberg, he kind of saw it slowly, and then he kind of tried to turn the ship, and that if he had actually hit it head on, that they might have survived. And I just find that a very interesting concept, that if they had just moved forward and hit it head on, they would have actually survived. And I think the same thing for us today. Like when we move forward kind of scared. And we move forward in such a way that the things that we do are not very courageous in how they look and appear. And I see that in the health message. You know, I was talking to you the other night about what's happening in the alternative world and the success that many people in alternative healthcare are having. I get newsletters from a lot of these people, and they say things like, why is meditation so important? why is your spiritual health so important? And they talk about how they've been helped by, you know, their spiritual life improving, daily affirmations and these types of things. And I look at what's happening within our own Adventist medical missionary work. And while we have been given such a great light from such a long time ago, and many of us are like, yes, we've had this health message for a long time, and we know so much, and we live 10 years longer, the health message has lost much of its power. And much of it is because we lack courage. We don't want people to be offended. We don't want to be looked upon too differently. And we don't know how to share this message in such a way that it will have the power to transform people's lives, because we have not received it into our own life as such. Many of us, most of us, are not living that health message. And I'm not talking about, are you eating your veggies and fruits? I'm talking about, are you asking each day, God, is this your will for me? God, does this glorify you? God, do people see the beauty of Jesus and what I am doing and what I'm eating and what I'm saying? And so that is the type of power. Courage causes us to act and to do with all of our hearts. And this is what we find in another story. And this is the story of the King Asa. And if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, today I am going a little bit late, and I'm going to try to make this point quickly, but I just feel that it's a very important point. I've been talking to a lot of people, and you know, so many of us get weighed down with some of the burdens of our lives, the decisions that we've made and the regrets that we've had. And so I just, you know, it takes courage for us to get over that. And so I don't want this to be just like a sermon and it sounds good or whatever. I really want this to be where you hear something and you decide this is something that you're going to do. You're going to move forward. And so let's look at the story of Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. King Asa was a very faithful king. It says in verse 2 that Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And in verse 11, we see let me tell you what was happening here. King Asa was a very good king. And it says that God gave him many years of peace. But I think it was in probably the 10th year, because it says God gave him 10 years of peace. And an Ethiopian king came against him. And that Ethiopian had 1 million in his army. And King Asa only had about 560,000. So they were outnumbered. And so it was at that time that King Asa... And so, like, for those of you who are interested in the medical missionary work and you're looking around at what's happening, like, that, there's many times that I feel like this. I feel like they're so successful and, you know, they're doing so well. They have all this money and everything like that. And King Asa came to the Lord and said this in verse 11, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Isn't that amazing? This is nothing. Nothing that we go through is too much for the Lord. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. Whatever we try to do for the Lord and for his glory, you know, we can say, God, you go forward and let no one prevail against you. And we can have confidence. And the Lord was with him. He conquered over this Ethiopian army, and he was given many more years of peace. And it was years later that another king came against him, the king of Syria. And in Chapter 16, What Asa did, somehow, throughout this time of peace, Asa kind of lost sight of what God had done for him. And so when the king of Syria came against him, what he did is, instead of seeking the Lord, he paid the king of Syria. No, he paid the king of, I think it was, let me see, let me get this story straight. No, I think it was Judah. The king of Judah came against Asa, and Asa went to the king of Syria and gave him money and said, let us form a league between us. And so what happened is that the prophet Hanani came to Asa and said this, were not the Ethiopians, this is verse 8, were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with many chariots and horsemen, yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hands. And in verse 7 it says this, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. There were a lot of consequences for Asa losing faith. And what happened is that when this prophet came to him and told him that God was not pleased with him, he actually imprisoned this prophet, and he persecuted other people who were trying to tell him the straight truth. Isn't it amazing that you can go from having such faith to being someone who actually persecutes people? And yet, you know, he was a man that God said that he followed him with a perfect heart. And so there was some spiritual blindness that was happening here, it seems. And, you know, I'm not a theologian. Maybe Pastor Brian can give me more insight into this. But what I did see is this. In chapter 16, verse 12, Asa, in the 30th and 9th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. I just find that really, really interesting that, you know, that the Bible would want to say this about Asa, that, you know, when he got sick, he didn't seek to the Lord, but he sought to physicians. And I see this happening even in our church. You know, now we have this thing called conventional medicine, and we have evidence-based medicine. And somehow within our church, we think that as long as it's evidence-based, it's okay. And it's so much better than what we had before. And I think evidence-based is good. We should try to seek for as much evidence as possible. But I think that it is still something for us to consider, that the Bible wants us to seek first to the Lord for wisdom and for healing. And so it takes courage to do that and to seek for the Lord's wisdom when everybody else is talking about evidence-based. And you look like a quack or whatever, right? But God says, don't let that worry you. Be strong. Let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. You know, many times when we get discouraged and when we let our courage fail, it's because we look to ourselves. And we look to what is possible for us. And maybe we look to our past experiences, and maybe we haven't been like David. We haven't been out in the wilderness, and we haven't had to fight against a bear or a lion. And so we haven't had these great victories, right? So that is what, you know, when I think about the health message, and I think about like these addictions in our own lives that we have to conquer, you know, these are little lions and bears that God sends to us, right? That we can, every single situation that we go through in our life can be an experience where we, like David, can gain experiences that we can have confidence and courage. So that when we have some great test that comes upon God's people, that we can say, I want to be like David. I want to run to the battle. I want to have courage to do great work for the Lord. And the purpose for this is not for me as Joyce, or for you as individuals. It is because in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 23, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. It's because when we don't have courage, we profane God's name. Because it actually causes us to disobey. Because when we're not moving forward, we are disobeying. When we're not doing what God wants us to do in getting rid of the idols and in glorifying His character to people and letting people who are sitting in darkness know that there is a God who loves them, we are profaning the name of Christ. And the heathen need to know that God is the Lord. And that is why He needs to be sanctified in our lives. This is the whole purpose of sanctification. Not necessarily just to save you and to save me, because this is what is needed for the world to see the power of who God is. May we go forward with courage today. May God's love restore the image of God in us so that we can be the men and women that we were created to be and fulfill the purpose for which we were created. And how many of us want that today? Amen. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I praise You and I thank You for these stories in the Bible of courage, for these verses that we can cling to and that we can internalize and that can become a part of who we are so that we can transform from people who are cowardly, from people who don't have a vision, to people who run to the battle. I pray that for each one of us today, Lord, may Your name be glorified through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.